Here in Orlando, Florida, O-Town Compost is leading the composting revolution, recycling organic waste into a nutrient-rich resource. Join Charlie Pioli, founder of O-Town Compost, as we hear from the nation's leading voices behind the grassroots community composting movement. Welcome to the Community Composting Podcast.
If you enjoy the Community Composting Podcast and want to support future episodes, please follow the link in the episode show notes to give a small monthly reoccurring donation, even if it's $5 to $10 a month. We'll continue to come out with killer content to keep the grassroots movement rolling. Hey, welcome to the Community Composting Podcast. This is Charlie. I'm here today with Dustin, episode number 46. Dustin represents Filthy Organics, a community composter down in Broward County, Florida. Another Florida composter. I'm trying to hit up everyone I can. But Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I remember we first were introduced via Peter Moon. That was right when I was starting the business and you were getting into starting yours. And we're both really interested in the O2 microbin composting system. And we hopped on the phone just to talk about construction and kind of what our purpose was, what our goals were with the microbin. Are you still using that microbin system?
I don't know if it'd be considered a microbin, but we've definitely graduated up a little bit. Right now we're actually doing it in modified shipping containers. So I took, I took 20-foot shipping containers. I cut them in half and those are now my quote unquote microbins.
So I think that's a trend. It's microbins are great for community composters just starting, but if you're really bringing in the feedstock, you quickly outgrow them. But that's crazy that it's 20 feet wide shipping containers. And how tall are your piles and how deep?
So once they're completed, the pile itself is probably it's 10 foot by 6 to 7 foot tall. So 10 by 8 by 7-ish.
And you have like the manifold, the PVC manifold in the back. Is it still receiving active aeration?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had to upsize, obviously, the original blower fan that we got with the microbin system. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the process right now of changing that out. I'm playing with it to try and increase the amount of airflow so I can ideally regulate the temperature a little bit better than I am. Our piles are getting really hot. There's a lot of material, which is okay, but I want to try and bring that temperature down a little faster than it's going on its own.
So what is your temperature monitoring routine like every day, or how often do you do it, and what is your monitoring for your compost piles?
So we're just monitoring typically on a daily basis. I'll go out in the morning and check the piles. We'll stick the thermometer in there and make sure everything's the way it should be. And then we just adjust the airflow right now, up or down, to try and bring that temperature up or down if we need to. But frankly, I haven't had an issue with needing to bring the temperature up. It's getting up, no problem. It's trying to bring that temperature down.
Are you exceeding 160 sometimes?
Yeah, we're hitting. Sometimes I've seen it hit over the 170, right? which is it's a little bit of a concern. And frankly, I reached out to Peter about it too because I was concerned, and he really wasn't all that worried about it. So that's typical. It's not that big of a deal. As long as it's not there for weeks on end, you should be fine. But I still like to try and bring it down.
Yeah, I know. I've listened to that composter podcast that recently came out, and that's from more of a perspective of the compost sites of the facilities. And I've heard them say you don't want to exceed 160 because it's killing a lot of the beneficial microbes. I mean, it's killing all of the microbes, but you know, some are beneficial, some are not. So, but it's always an art, you know, that's what I've kind of found.
Right. And it's playing with the different feedstocks too, right? So, I don't know. Have you had Xavier with Live Renewable on yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so he's another local community composter, and we actually get feedstock from him too. So he tips at our facility, and you know, when he brings his stuff in, it's different than the stuff that we've been getting, right? He gets there's a lot of fruit that comes in from him, right? So it's super wet, and just, you know, playing with the right mixture on that, you know, and getting that right has been, you know, it's been an interesting challenge to figure it out.
And I know, you know, you're in the construction industry, and Filthy Organics is still your kind of side gig. But, you know, how has that background in construction like helped you start Filthy Organics? And, you know, what are some just like lessons you've taken from your background to composting?
I would say for me, the biggest maybe takeaway or is just the ability to adapt, right? I've got access obviously to equipment that, you know, maybe a regular composter that wanted to start up wouldn't have, right? So I've got some heavy machinery, which helps, right?
And you know how to operate it, which
right.
That's
yeah.
Definitely not the case for me.
Yeah, but it's all stuff that you can learn too, right? So really the biggest thing that I've taken away just from being in the construction business is, you know, I tell my guys on the job site when we're taking on bigger projects than they've done before, it's, you know, you're kind of drinking from the fire hose, right? So, but just take that big step and you'll figure it out as you go. So just really not being afraid to give it a try and figure it out as you go. But also just kind of adaptability, right? So the biggest thing in the construction business, I think that we do is we solve problems, right? Every project has issues that come up, and you got to be able to work through them, right? So it's the same thing with our business and the compost side, right? Whether it's a mixture thing or a piece of equipment goes down or, you know, some issues, you got to think through it and come up with a solution.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I was expecting you to say some like hard skills, like, you know, operating the machinery, but those problem solving and kind of soft skills are really just uniform in anything you do in life if you want to, you know, do a good job and make a difference. So that's cool. Are you sourcing your carbon from construction sites like wood chips? Is that coming from land clearing?
So we do have, we've got relationships obviously with, you know, site contractors and landscapers that are creating mulch on a big level. So site clearing right now, the way that they grind their material, it's too big for me to use in our mix, right? So while we use that kind of just for ground cover to run our equipment on at the site, that's helpful. But no, most of our stuff comes from arborists that are trimming trees and chipping it because I like the size that they bring us.
Okay. And you have some good relationships in your community. You're in Deerfield Beach, is that right?
Yeah, I'm just west of Deerfield Beach. I'm actually within Coconut Creek, but yeah, that general area.
Okay.
I'm in an unincorporated piece of actually Broward County. I don't have a city, which is kind of nice because nobody's in my business. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got a good relationship. Actually, my next door neighbor, he's an arborist, so, you know, it works out good for him. He doesn't have to stop at the landfill to drop his stuff. He just brings it home with him and dumps it at my site.
Yeah, and, you know, if you talk with a lot of community composters starting out, that's a good place to go. It's usually free for them to drop off the wood chips. There's a great app called Chip Drop. At least exists in Florida. I'm not sure about other states, but, I mean, that's a great source of carbon for the wood, the food scraps you're bringing in. So I have talked with Xavier, and he did say he's tipping at your site. Are you mostly focused on the processing or the collection?
No, I'm mostly focused on the processing. I really, my goal is not to be in the hauling business, you know, and frankly, Xavier and I met because we are the only two guys in Broward, and we both have complementary ideas on how to do it. He's really focused on the collection side, and me on the processing. So it works out good for us. Not that there's any shortage of food waste to go around either way, but
yeah, but it is real complementary. I mean, we're in the same boat. We realize two separate businesses completely. If we can focus on the collection and education to make sure there's not a ton of contamination, then, you know, we'd be happy to, you know, give the food waste to someone who can process it into a valuable resource. And we even, you know, buy back the finished compost from our farm partners. But I think that's great that Xavier and you kind of made that relationship. I wish I had more people like you who just wanted to focus on the processing and actually like cared about the processing, because we have had a couple partners in the past, like this one guy with a tractor, and he would get tons of loads of wood chips and spread that on his property. But as soon as we started bringing him food waste, he didn't understand like that you can create compost and that's how you really add to the nutritional value of your soil. So he like, you know, the worst thing you see from my perspective is you tip on the site and then you come back next week to tip again and the same pile is sitting there uncovered. So that was sketchy, and I'm glad we ended that. But so I know Xavier is a busy guy. He's got an operation in Tampa now too, but how frequently do they bring you loads? And like, is their truck the right size for your facility? Like, walk me through the layout of your site.
So we've been kind of off and on with them. I guess, I don't know, a month and a half ago, we started back up, and ideally we're doing it on a weekly basis. And so right now we only mix on one day a week. So that's when he comes and he dumps right there. But he's got a, it's a box truck. And he dumps his 55-gallon drums directly into the bucket of our tractor. And we take it to our mixing bay. So for us, it's all mixed and set same day. There's never any anything left over. I can't have that. I think that's disgusting. Yeah. That's absolutely the wrong way to do it. And it's going to send the wrong message, you know, about what we're trying to do too. So.
For sure. But yeah, that's it's, you know, definitely important, as you know, being a student of Peter Moon, to mix your feedstocks pretty thoroughly. And because you don't want those anaerobic pockets or pockets that don't fully break down.
Right.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Do you have more capacity to take more? What would you say is your average like weekly throughput capacity?
Right now we're doing right about 2,000 pounds on a weekly basis. We could do more. It would be tight, but if I guess I've got room for more containers on the site. Mm-hmm. So if I needed to increase the capacity, I could do it right now, but we're searching for more land. I mean, I'm on acreage, but it is still my backyard, and mm-hmm. my wife will put up with it for now. But if I start adding more containers, she might have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's funny. So you are looking for more land, and how is that search going? Kind of what attributes are you looking for in a potential compost site, and how big do you plan on doing it? Do you plan on, you know, getting investors, or, you know, what are you looking at?
So my ideal situation would, you know, be to do a public-private partnership with, you know, a municipality that's got the land. I don't know about you guys up there, but down here in Broward County, land is at a premium, right? So I've not actively looked for any private land for it. I don't see it financially being a good you know, set up to having to lease land or purchase land to put any sort of site on it. So I think the only way to really do it successfully is to partner with the county or a municipality that's got that land. And so right now, really, we're just trying to get the word out with the different, you know, officials that, you know, what we're doing is good. And, you know, we're up against right now in Broward, new rules that come out that could squash it. Right. So we're trying to.
And I've heard about this up in Orlando. I've heard that, you know, it's a new incinerator that they're trying to build, or is it existing? And basically, it would outlaw what Xavier is doing, collecting any food waste. So it's like a put or pay contract that, you know, would just mean all the waste generated in the county would go to this one incinerator and be burned to create electricity. But as everyone knows, if organic waste is very wet, it doesn't burn easily. So it's really not a great environmental solution. It takes other fossil fuel to get the furnace hot enough. I think it's a disaster. And I hear that, you know, people are really angry about it. And the U.S. Composting Council is looking to start a new chapter in Florida pretty soon to kind of like combat that whole thing down in Broward.
So, yeah. So, well, first, real quick, we actually just got approved by the U.S. Composting Council. We officially have a Florida Composting Council chapter. So that just happened. I think I got the letter last week. So that's big news.
That's awesome. I got to join that too as well.
Yeah, I don't even know how they set it up for membership. So it's going through Recycle Florida today.
Okay.
But that'll all be coming out soon, I'm sure. But yeah, as far as the incinerator is concerned, right now Broward's got, they're calling it a solid waste working group, right? And the goal of that is to find a solution. We're out of space for our landfills. We don't have an incinerator here in Broward. We had one, they shut it down years ago, frankly, to make more room to stack trash, right? Like you said, it's inefficient at best. You're never going to get the energy out that you put in to burn food waste. But what's happening with the solid waste working group right now is they're trying to establish flow control to feed the incinerator. And, you know, the challenge in Florida is that food waste and yard waste is considered garbage, right? So that's how they're able to get kind of control of that material and say you can't collect.
Right. At the state level, there's no separate definition for food or yard waste. Yeah.
So really kind of my thoughts and my play on it is we need to change the definition, right? And we need to include it in the definition of a recoverable material. We need to look at it as a resource like it is. Because if it gets defined as a recoverable material, then they can't say that we can't collect it and compost it, right? It doesn't mean it can't go to the landfill, but it means that they can't tell us we can't take it. Because I'm sure you're in the same boat, right? There's a lot of people that want to compost their stuff. I'm getting calls from trash brokers that have clients with large amounts of food waste that want to compost it. I just can't take it right now. So I think that's the biggest play. And I think it's mostly educational. I don't think it's intentional on part of the municipalities, right? But I think, not in such a negative way, but it's ignorance, right? To the fact that you can do something good with food waste. I didn't know anything about it until I started looking into it. And I think they just need to be educated and see that, you know, this is real opportunity. No different than, you know, waste vegetable oil from restaurants, right? The restaurants used to have to pay to get rid of it. Now they get paid for it because everybody realized, okay, this is a resource, not a waste product. And the same should go for organics.
That's a good point. I think everyone's kind of, you know, waste is increasingly becoming a problem as land becomes more scarce. And, you know, we were destined to come to this point because everything is finite. But now waste needs to go somewhere. And, you know, we're running out of room and landfills are like very expensive to regulate and build more cells. You know, Florida is actually a pretty big state, but we're very focused on incineration in this state because our government thinks it's like kind of just a way to wipe our hands of it. It like disappears and it has a smaller footprint. But I don't think there is like an easy silver bullet solution. I think we need to focus on waste diversion and do it. Like, it's hard to educate every single business and resident to understand what is contamination, what can be composted. But in the long run, you know, that's like 45, 50% of the waste stream that doesn't have to end up at a incinerator or landfill. And it would really, you know, be a big solution for our lack of space problem in this country.
Yeah, it'd be a solution for the lack of space. And then obviously you've got the environmental benefit of applying compost, right, to our agriculture, which is, it's spilling chemicals into our ecosystem right now at such an incredible rate. You know, and I'm born and raised here in South Florida, and you know, I want my kids to be able to enjoy Florida the same way that I did. And we have to protect that and keep pumping chemicals into our ecosystem and expect it to maintain.
As you start to take on more food scraps, you realize very quickly that you need a better composting system to process the material. This is why I highly recommend the aerated static pile microbin designed and made easy by O2 Compost. In 60 days, I have finished compost without putting in the labor of turning the pile. The piles heat up to over 140 degrees, killing pathogens, weed seeds, and fly larvae, making the end product safe to use in the garden. With 32 plus years of experience in the compost industry, Peter Moon, owner of O2 Compost, is a leading expert in the field of ASP composting. I encourage you to set up a free half an hour consultation with Peter Moon by going to his website, www.o2compost.com. That's the letter O, the number 2, compost.com. If you mention that you heard about O2 Compost on this podcast, you'll receive a 10% discount on the purchase of the Microbin Compost Training Program. So what can like the other community composters in Florida do to, you know, change this definition of food waste and yard waste? And like, you know, what do you think is the right move now to make sure you and Xavier don't get like, you know, squashed?
So it's, I'm sure you've seen it as I guess community composters and kind of, you know, environmental people in general, right? We all have great ideas, but what we don't do well is work together, right? And a common goal to move that forward. So we all need to get together, and that's not just in South Florida. That's you and everybody else in Florida that's pursuing this. And we need to go to the state legislature and get this worked out. You know, having the Florida Composting Council is going to be a big part of that. Ideally, right? That's the place for us to come together and you know, push legislation, right? But it's going to take some work and building relationships with legislatures and educating them, so that we can get those rules changed. For me, right now, I've actually hired a lobbying firm to help, you know, get those doors open so we can have that conversation.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no other way. That's the one other thing from the construction business that I'm able to bring to it is, you know, we do a lot of work with the state pushing legislation that benefits the construction industry and the workers. So I understand how that process works, you know, fairly well. And ideally I'm trying to bring that to the composting side of things too, so we can get some stuff done.
Wow. So it sounds like you definitely know the route to take, to kind of combat this. And like, is there a timeline when, you know, when the county is going to make this decision and, you know, do you feel the pressure at all?
Absolutely. So I don't know if there's a deadline. They're trying to get it done. They've been meeting now for, I want to say it's at least a year. It may be closer to 2 years that they've been meeting. The solid waste working group. I didn't know about it. Frankly, it was kind of being done. I don't want to say, you know, behind closed doors, right? But it wasn't promoted that they were having these conversations. Right. So I found out about it about, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, and started knocking on doors, and we really couldn't get very far. Long story short, I hired the lobbying firm to help me do this. And I think it's next week, we're actually presenting to the solid waste working group to talk to them about composting, right? So it's working, right? We're at least able to have that conversation where before nobody would speak to us about it, because, you know, on some level, they've put a lot of work in. They don't want somebody to upset the apple cart, you know?
Yeah.
I get that, but you shouldn't rush to make a bad decision just because you've been working on it for so long, you know? And as far as I'm concerned, it's not a difficult conversation to have. It's, you know, it's a few words changed in a definition.
Yeah. And I've been in touch with the solid waste department up in Tallahassee, like with FDEP.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're all for it. They're big proponents of us, but I guess it does have to happen at the, you know, it's like a state statute or something. So it does have to happen in the legislature.
Right.
Which, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you go about getting the attention of all these, you know, state reps. I think a lobbying firm is a great way to do it.
It's a start, right? They'll help you open the doors, but you know, your representatives, they're always willing to hear from you, right? And that's the one thing that I learned when I kind of first started going to Tallahassee is, you know, they need to hear from us, because you got to imagine these folks, they're hearing hundreds of different new laws every year, right? And they can't possibly understand every one of them that's coming across their desk. And they rely on folks like you and me to educate them on how they should be looking at these, right? So the one thing that most people don't realize is how accessible they all are, right? All your representatives have local offices, right? So it's just a matter of calling them up and getting a meeting set, right? You can usually get 5 minutes with them, especially these days with Zoom. You can always get that worked in. But while they're in session, you can always just go walk the halls. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The state capitol is open to all of us at any time. And you can walk into their offices and, you know, get a meeting set or and talk to them for a few minutes. But the lobbying firm, you know, they carry some weight. They've got the relationship. So maybe you get a more meaningful discussion. Maybe you'll meet with the actual representative rather than the state.
So, and you have a very focused, you know, agenda where you're just trying to change the definition of this state statute. And that makes it a lot easier. You're not coming up with some abstract, you know, policy or telling them the importance of composting with no like solution to that. I mean, that's awesome. Are you going up to Tallahassee with the lobbying firm, or are you just...
We certainly will be, right? So, you know, I'm fairly close with one of my local state representatives, you know, who's agreed to help me try and push some legislation this year just to get that changed, right? He may or may not sponsor the bill, but he definitely will help me find the right person to sponsor a bill to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll be up in Tallahassee for sure. Both for construction and this, I can push both, you know, at the same time. So,
I would love to join you if that's possible. I mean, I'm close with our state representative here in Orlando, and she's actually a subscriber. So I think we could, you know, maybe she would be the one to sponsor the bill. So,
and you know, it's always helpful. You get one sponsor, but you can get co-sponsors as well. You know what I mean? So you can get a few people attached to the bill, which always helps, you know, getting it through different committees and on its way. But yeah, you at the state, you have to take small bites. You can't go in for this big bill and expect it to move. It won't. People will shut it down. You know what I mean? It's small wins, you know what I mean, to get to where you want to go over time.
Yeah. And I mean, that would help me as well with this definition change is what's keeping O-Town Compost from legally being able to collect in the city of Orlando. Right now, you know, they're looking the other way because there's no other solution. But you know, this definition change is really preventing a lot from happening in the composting industry here in Florida. Right. So I think that's a great focal point.
Agreed. Agreed 100%.
Yeah, so that's awesome that you have that knowledge. I had no idea, but you know what? I guess, you know, it would be great to kind of do like a follow-up podcast where we kind of talk about the results of this, because I see other community composters around the nation, our listeners who, you know, may live in states that don't have that legislature either. But you know, you're honestly, for like, you know, you're not a huge operation here in Florida, but you're making like a big difference. You would think the big players like maybe Atlas Organics would want to be more involved in something like this, but they're mostly just focused on the processing side as well. So maybe they don't see the importance.
Well, I think, you know, they've got a pretty good thing going where they're at, right? And there's not a whole lot of friction, because it's, once you're outside of the Tri-County, you know, in South Florida, you can operate, you know, I mean, pretty easily. Broward is, it's an uphill battle. So, and Palm Beach is almost a completely unwinning battle. You know, so they don't have to work so hard for their money right now where they're at. So I don't blame them for trying. But
that's true. I mean, they're kind of entrenched in Indian River County. They kind of have that really close public partner, private relationship. But I don't know about you, but I'm always anxious for community composters around Florida, because it's like something like that could happen where the discussion's being had behind closed doors. And then one day, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, this is going to take away all your business, or this is going to make what you're doing illegal. I just feel like community composters are not safe from a political perspective in Florida. And this definition change is probably the right way to go about it.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, but it is. It's we're teetering, right, on the ability to continue doing this or not. It's definitely a fragile foothold we have right now. So, but we just got to keep doing what we're doing, I think. And the biggest thing is proving that it can be done and that it's a clean operation. It's not it's not this big nasty thing that everybody thinks it is. You know, it's not going to stink. It's not going to attract all these terrible animals. It's, you know what I mean? When done right, it's a very clean operation, and we have to represent the industry that way so that the image is sent out the right way.
Yeah, I think community composters have a lot of responsibility to do things the right way with, you know, ethics in place, because once you start cutting corners, that's what really leads to not only like your own operation going down, but you know, you're really dragging down the whole composting industry. It's already on thin ice. You know, if I could give advice to any listeners out there, like, don't get into composting if you're just gonna like do it half baked.
Right. Absolutely. No, it's got to be done right from the beginning. You know, I know in Broward, they had talked about, well, we tried composting once and it didn't go well. I went around for that. It wasn't me. I don't know how they did it, you know, but, you know, that can sour people's perspective for a very long time with just one bad player. So no, you're right. It's extremely important and a huge responsibility for us to do it the right way.
Same thing happened here in Orange County too, is like a facility just wasn't doing it the right way and they went out of business, and it kind of just left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But yeah, you know, it's back, you know, where a lot of us weren't around 5 years ago. So it I see it as like another wave of composters. And we do talk, even though we don't have a platform to all come together. So we just need to, like, you know, uphold the ethics of the industry and do stuff like this, you know, where you're going to Tallahassee. Like, that's so cool. And if I can join you, I'd be happy to tag along or do whatever I can to support what you're doing. So
no, that'd be great. The more the better.
Cool. All right, Dustin, well, I appreciate it. It's the middle of the work day, so I'll let you get back to it.
I appreciate it, man. It's great talking to you.
Likewise. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Please rate and review on whichever podcast platform you're listening to. If you feel like this is good content and you're learning a lot about composting,